didn't come to make the bad people good. He came back to make the dead alive. We're all broken records, but that's how the light gets inside.
Welcome back to another episode of Broken Record Ministries. I'm Ronnie. Schmikey, Schmike, Schmike, Schmike is back.
How y'all doing?
Silent, never, Ron is here.
Well, that didn't make no sense, but hello.
Actually, it did if you think about it, because you are Ron? Never silent.
I'm never Ron?
No, you're never,
silent.
Never silent. Put his listening ears on.
Coffee Mike's back.
Hey, everybody.
And the lethal weapon, Stephanie, is returned.
Returned? Hello.
See, I broke up the hello, so I had to change it up a little bit. Brother Bob's here.
How you doing?
It's Mike. Schmike, Schmike, Schmike. Oh. Will you read our Bible verse?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm reading from the NLT version, and we were reading 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 11. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It is not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters works together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ.
And our topic this episode is when the seed is watered. So I know for most of us around the table, we aren't in the same place that we were yesterday, last week, a month ago, a year ago, in our faith walk. And I've heard nothing but crying complaints that the last couple of episodes topics have been hard. So I'm giving us a softball here. And I want us to talk about maybe who planted our seed and how do we see each other grow. And then on the flip side, on the back end, we'll talk about some areas where it needs more water that we're not doing a great job at. Did I tee that one okay up for you, Coffee Mike?
Of course.
All right.
I have no questions.
Okay. You want to go?
Not really.
Are you pulling?
I'm trying to be quiet.
He's like, I don't have any answers either.
Yeah, that's question. Right. There you go. No answers.
Are you pulling a Ron on me?
No, I would never do that.
It's the seat.
When asked, I step forward. So you know here.
You know what they say, Ron, with friends like this. Right, Bob. No, I heard that last night.
Right. I thought a lot about this question today, Ronnie. And where I was being watered and where I wasn't being watered and who did the planting, you know, things like that. And I went down a big rabbit hole because it led me to other things, you know. Mm-hmm. I took a real look at how I was being watered. And unfortunately, I'm only being watered in one way or two when I should be watered from many different ways. So I guess my cup is definitely half empty, and that's my own fault. It's not being filled up properly. It's kind of my own fault.
Do you think is there ways to move past it?
Yes.
Or is it like, are we going to have to, like John 15, are we going to have to cut some things off of the vine to let it grow? Or are we going to have to, or does it actually need more water than more whatever?
I think it needs more water. Maybe a little pruning.
Yes. If you don't prune it, it's not going to grow. Pruning's just as important as watering. And what I mean by that is focusing on what you need to do, who you need to focus on, what you need to focus on. That's how you prune yourself.
I've been talking about focus for a long time, Bob, because that's really things on my mind nonstop, you know? Where am I actually living? What am I focusing on? What's important? And I'm failing miserably a lot of times. But that's a daily walk, you know, that I try and get up from when I fall. Not easy.
Well, it's definitely not easy when you're there.
No. Sure.
And when you're trying to do it by yourself. Because what I just heard was trying to do it.
I was trying to speak proper grammar, Bob. I'm sure there are others trying to help me.
Sure you were.
Mm-hmm. Come along for the ride, Mike. Come on. Mm-hmm. Well, he'll throw anybody under the bus. Good thing Mother Teresa's not on the podcast.
She'd be run over.
I'd be dead. Yeah, run over real well.
We all have issues. We all have problems. I don't care who you are, you know. But, I mean, you know. We all know. And we all don't take advantage of it like we should, but we all know we have a community here. If nowhere else here, that'll keep us in line and help us out in any way possible. But
you got to be willing to take the advice, too.
Yeah.
Well, even sometimes, Ron, even if you're willing to take the advice, there may be a reason you can't take the advice that you don't know of. That individual may have a reason.
Yeah, that is correct.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing to see something from the outside and come up with a solution. It's another thing to be in that problem and be given a solution that won't work because you have details that the other person doesn't have.
Here's a shopping analogy, so Mike and Mike will get this. You ever go window shopping and you see something through the window and you're like, whoa, that's amazing. And then you go in and you look at the price tag and you're like, nope.
Nope.
Not that amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? So like that is those things that you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you two would get that analogy.
Why? Because we take our wives shopping?
No, that's not it.
I guess we didn't get, or at least
Wait a minute. Correction. You may take your wife shopping. His wife takes him shopping.
Yeah.
I'm proud to take my wife.
Yep. My wife doesn't like to shop. I do.
No. She's a good wife. She'll set out.
Well, that's what I do.
Yeah, she's one of the guys.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I don't actually shop. Wherever she goes, I find a place to sit down. Hopefully, he's got one of those massage chairs. I feed a $5 bill into the thing and sit and watch people go by.
Yep.
Wow, bougie.
That's what she'll do. And she'll sit
I'm
there.
I'm just being truthful. I mean,
laugh at them as they fall down or hit the, you know. She likes to sit in the doors at Walmart, especially when they're broken.
And she listens to this, too.
Oh, she'll admit it. She'll sit there and watch them run into the door that's broken all day long and just laugh.
Best fun I ever had.
Laugh and laugh.
Best fun I ever had doing that, I bought a can of Flarp. And some poor child bent over to tie his shoe. I used the Flarp to make a sound. And we all know the sound. And the mother actually slapped the poor child. And I wanted to say something, but I was laughing I was laughing too hard, Mike. It was hilarious. I felt bad about it later. But
you didn't feel bad about it. He's still about it now.
You got a poor child whooped for farting in public, and it was you.
Well, he didn't actually do anything. The poor kid was being responsible tying his shoe. Yeah. And
he didn't you got him hit.
Well, Mama should have been paying closer attention.
Ron.
Okay, we're off the rails.
This time, you saved me.
Welcome to the party.
Save you from what? I don't really know what to say about this topic.
So you're in the same spot that you were last week, spiritually?
I sit. You send it out. I look at it. Sorry. Eden, I got it.
Do you, though?
You send out the topic. I'll sit there. And I ask Karen, what would you say to this? She goes, I don't have a clue. I was like, well, me neither. So I don't know what to say right now, so... Depending on what somebody else says, it may trigger something, but...
Mike.
I'd like to say that my wife planted the seed. Now I know God planted the seed and it was already always there.
And she was just helping
water? She was watering it, tilling the field. You know, preparing the field for the time that I was ready to accept it and to go through. And she, I think, did a very good job because she did it in the way that God knew it would get to me.
Breakfast.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. Breakfast. Yeah, absolutely.
Or lunch, actually.
But or dinner or whatever. Whatever.
No, it was lunch.
Snacks?
It's after church, so it's lunch.
If we're part of the country, then that could be dinner.
11:30, and we go. That's still breakfast time.
Sorry, dude. Come on, keep going. Right. You're good. Anyway,
so, but yeah, it was because we all know. I mean, it's his timing, so he knows when I'm going to be able to accept the things and whatever. But looking back, of course, I can see all of the preparations that were made for me. I still don't understand why, but now I think more than ever I can see how it happened. Because I can go back and see people that were, you know, praying for me that I didn't know about, or people that were saying something to me at work that at that point in time I was getting
offended angry about.
At. Yeah, offended and angry about, that it was just somebody trying to open my eyes to God. And all of that, to now realize that all of that watering and all of that was in preparation for the point in time in my life to where God's like, okay, now you have to water your own. Now you've come enough. Besides relying on God, God's the only one I can rely on. I can't rely on everybody else to water my faith. And, you know, and to still sow that field and to go into different directions and learn and all of these things. It's on me. It's my responsibility. It's nobody else's because God's put me to this point. So
it's partly your responsibility. Mm-hmm. But it's also our responsibility to still water you, to help you.
Right, right.
I mean, it all comes in as a whole. It's all teamwork, is what it is.
Yeah.
And that's what God. That's why God gives you a community, so you can help each other. So you can sharpen. What's He say? Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't. You can't sharpen yourself. Yeah. I mean. Yeah. What you'll end up doing is dulling yourself.
Or
cutting yourself, but you'll dull yourself to where you're like, oh, well, I can't bring myself back from this. Mm-hmm. Nothing can sharpen me back up. So, I mean, that's why when you back off and start hibernating and not trying to sharpen yourself with other believers, or, you know, not discussing stuff, it dulls you down.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
But it is your responsibility to have that personal relationship with God.
Right.
It's our responsibility
That's what I should have said.
Correct.
Was having that personal relationship.
Yes, as I mean, that's our responsibility to being His friend, to doing what He... to do the purpose that He made us for. Mm-hmm. And that's the purpose, was to be His friend, to have that relationship with Him. That's our whole soul purpose on this earth. And to try to bring other people to Him. There's nothing else on this earth that we're supposed to do. I mean, that shop I got, I just do it because that's my job. That's how God blesses me. And
that's how you use your talent.
Correct. That's what I say. That's how God blesses me, is through that shop. I didn't used to think that way. I used to think that I'd done it all. That I was the one that built that shop. I was the one that done all the work, and I didn't need nobody else to do anything for me. But that's incorrect. When my seed was planted, I'm going to tell you guys, it was probably when I was probably 6 or 7 years old, and the seed was planted in a Pentecostal church, because Brother and Sister Howe were phenomenal people. They were godly people. They were Brother Howe was a God-driven preacher. I mean, he preached out of the Bible And I'm sure the seed was planted then. But I just kind of buried the seed and let it die. You know what I'm saying?
Let the weeds grow
up. Let the weeds grow up. And then when I was 32, God sent a man to my doorstep on my front porch and watered that seed. I still tried to choke it out, but God really poured the water to it. So he brought the seed back to life and started making it grow.
You saying that about makes me think of my grandmother. You know, she was a Pentecostal as well. Boy, as a kid, she drugged me to everything. I spent every summer with them. And boy, I hadn't thought about that. That's probably where my seed got planted as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'd go to those revivals, sun up to sun gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Start with a tie, end with a tie gone, shirts rolled up. I mean, sweating.
Something. Growing up, you had a drug problem. You got drugged to church.
Exactly. Exactly.
Correct.
Do you think? Choking out, right? Like when we try to go water, do you think we overwater sometimes?
Yeah, you can drown them.
Yeah,
there is such a thing.
Yeah, I think you have to be able to see where they're at to see how much they can receive. Because like Bob's analogy about, you know, how he was continually watered reminded me of yesterday. My wife and I were talking about it because she just got new plants. And she left them outside before she actually planted them. She was like making the joke of, it's been raining so much. They're like, oh, what are you doing to me? Why are you trying to kill me? You're waterboarding me, kind of thing, you know, and stuff. And so like that just popped in my head when he was saying that. But then at the same time, we do that as well.
Yeah.
Especially when we're on fire and when we get on fire, but we don't know exactly what we're supposed to do with it.
Yeah.
Like we did when we started off.
Yeah.
Then it was just kind of, you know, just going at it, going at it.
Scorched earth type thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like.
Mm-hmm. It's just, you're just pouring that water, not understanding why they're not receiving it. You know, they're there with their hearts close to it, you know, and you're still just pouring that same amount of, you know, with a fire hose or something, you know, and stuff, as opposed to letting it soak in, having some time, go back.
That's it. Pour a little bit on, let it soak. Let it sink in.
Yep.
And then that's when everything starts sprouting up. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just listening. No.
I had to thought about Sherman during the Civil War. Sorry. A little tidbit of scorched earth was first used really to great effect during our Civil War here in America. Sherman was kind of responsible for bringing that on as a modern warfare tactic. I don't know, it just popped in my head. Sorry. But I'm a history guy, sorry.
Yeah. Encyclopedia Mike.
Yep. Way smarter than me, I can tell you that.
Nah, different types of smarts.
Sure.
Steph, what about you?
Because I was thinking kind of like Mike, too, with plants. So I have two plants in my kitchen. I do best with artificial plants.
Same.
I cannot keep plants alive. But after Faith was born 6 years ago, it triggered a lot of my depression, anxiety, and there was a coworker that recognized I was struggling a lot, and I was struggling bad, and I probably shouldn't have been at work many days, but me being stubborn, I'm like, nope, I'm going because it's easier than writing sub plans. And so she was talking to her husband. Her husband came in and gave me this plant. And it's, I don't know what kind of plant it is. It has purple flowers when it blooms. That's all I know. We don't see purple flowers very often. We see a lot of brown leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do best with artificial plants. But they're still green leaves. Like, Faith is 6 years old. They're still green leaves. So that's a win for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Every now and then, maybe like once or twice a year, we actually get to see purple flowers. Not very often. And so I'm thinking about right now just that plant. And after Naomi was born, a different coworker got me this vine. And this vine is my kind of plant. She's like, you water it when the soil's dry, and you just water it enough that the soil gets wet. I'm like, I can do that one. She's like, yeah, so maybe like once a month, water it. And I'm like thinking, same idea about literal plants. And I think it's something we have to relate to our faith. Sometimes people need a lot more water and a lot more soil and a lot more attention and care and pruning. And some people just give them a little bit and watch them just spread like the vine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we have to also make sure that we're taking on God's direction, because sometimes we can overwater. If I overwater my vine, it will kill it. And people are like that too. If we overwater, they're going to be like, that's too much. Now I'm going to withdraw and I'm not going to pursue because I feel so overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. But then some people, they need that little bit at a time. Like, okay, now here's this part of scripture, and give them a little bit of time to soak that up, and then give them some more and give them some more. And I think we just have to make sure we're taking on God's direction with that. Because I can't personally think back to a time where a seed was planted. I was raised in a Christian home. We went to church every Sunday. Didn't honestly get much out of church, to be honest, but we went every Sunday. But I also grew up in a family with a mom and dad in the home. It was not a great relationship, but they were both in the home. I had grandparents that we got to see pretty much every week, and those were really my spiritual guides, my dad's parents. And like, talk about that Proverbs 31 woman, like that was my grandma. And I didn't realize that until after her passing. So I look at more of the people in my life as those seeds. I knew their faith was strong in them, and so I was able to connect that to, that's why they are the way they are. But for me, the big thing that really watered me, I guess, I'm not sure the right wording on that, was one of my most traumatic events. And that was when God's like, I tried all these other things and you didn't listen. So now I'm going to have to get pretty extreme. And it was that point, as much as I struggled with, and I still struggle with, you know, at times now, but it was that event over half of my life ago that got me on to, okay, God, I realize this is a serious thing. And I realize you don't want this, yeah, I believe, and I'm going to go along and blend in like the world. Like, so for me, that was the big pivotal point, was sometimes, like, God will try the soft, like, mm-hmm. especially like with the planting of the seeds. Like, he'll give you some water. He'll try to let you soak it in. But I'm the one that's really good with artificial plants. You don't give water to an artificial plant. But that was me. And he's like trying to give me the water to soak in. And I'm like, no. Like, I'm fine with living my life like the world. Like, I'm not a horrible person. So I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
And he used my biggest traumatic event to just realize, no, you're not. Like, there's more to life. You need more than this. And you better get it serious, or the life that you want is never going to happen. Because I was on a path that was going to get me into a situation that I didn't want to be in. And so even though it was a very traumatic event, it was ultimately what got me to where I am right now, where I can be like, yeah, God, I will talk about you in my classroom. And if somebody walks in, guess what? I'm not going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to finish our conversation. And then if I need to go to the principal's office, I'll go to the principal's office.
Probably see you there.
And I think we just have to keep in mind, like, the spirit's within each of us, and the spirit will press you. And I know that's something I've been warring with recently, is I feel like the way the spirit presses me isn't the way it should be pressing me. And I see how the spirit presses others, and I'm like, that's how it should be pressing me. So clearly I'm wrong. And roundabout, big conversation, all these things. It's like, no, this is how the spirit talks to me. And it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Like, we don't have scripturally one way the spirit talks.
Right.
And so when you feel that spirit pressing you to say something, to do something, no matter how small you might think it is, it could be life-changing for somebody.
Mm.
And so we just have to remember, yeah, we all had seeds, and they were all watered differently,
mm-hmm.
and they're all planted in different soil. Like, mm-hmm. you're not going to put a cactus in really moist land.
Right.
I don't think anyway.
No. Okay. No.
You are correct. That's what I was thinking when you're talking about it. I think I'm going to get you a succulent.
Artificial succulent.
Ron, you think anything?
I've been sitting here thinking when Bob said something and Stephanie was talking about it, Mike, when was my seed probably planted? I couldn't tell you, but I know my grandma, like probably everybody's grandma, drug me to church. My grandma drug me to church. My mom wasn't, she didn't go, my mom's godly now, but when we were growing up, she didn't go to church. But she'd let my grandma take me. Of course, I was young. You know, I didn't get anything out of it really except for running around chasing those little church girls, you know. I'm sorry. But, I mean, just being honest. And that could have been the time that the seed might have been planted, or is definitely when Jesus was introduced. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
That was when Jesus was introduced to me. And then when grandma passed away, I mean, well, actually, it started before grandma passed away. You know, I stopped going once I got to a certain age, and I just didn't go with her. And then grandma did pass away, and then I didn't have no reason to go. And then I just kind of pushed him to the side. You know, all my life, I knew there was somebody there, and I was always searching for answers. You know, I knew the stories because of cartoons. You know, the biblical cartoons, watching them growing up. But I didn't know who he was. I just knew the stories of who he was. And, you know, living in my household, I had a very rough upbringing. So it was always, this is who I want to be. You know, you watch cartoons, you're like, man, I want to be like this guy. Hmm. Not knowing who he was, because I was young, you know. And so I tried to do the right thing all the time, try not to never get in trouble. But I guess there was really no watering throughout this process for me, I don't feel, until about, I don't know, what, me and Karen been going to Redeemer 3 years now, maybe? Mm-hmm. So sure. About a little, I mean, three and a half years ago, I guess the seed must have been in me, because I think the first watering I got was kind of from my wife, I feel, because she wanted to find a church. And she wanted to learn about God, and she wanted to know his story. And she, I mean, she was in a bad way, you know, she lost her mom. And then, you know, she lost her dad, and we lost our son. And she was just struggling and searching, and she said, would you have a problem if we went to church? And I said, absolutely not. At the same token, though, I guess I would have to say Lisa and Ronnie also watered that seed a little bit, too, because I wasn't into going to church. Lisa asked me, hey, you ought to try this church. Karen was up for it, and I said, no. Well, then here comes Ronnie. Maybe you should try this church. Same dang church, Lisa said. And I was like, okay, fine. There's two people. Okay.
So let me stop you right there real quick. Did you guys come to the conference first and then church? Or did you go to church and then the conference? We were church, but it was really close together, though, right?
It was close, yeah.
Okay. But I was church, just trying to remember
yeah,
for
me. Yeah, it was
me.
Church first. And then you all started talking to me about the podcast and the Broken Record Ministry. But like I said, I'm pretty sure a lot of the, Karen has, and I don't know, maybe she planted that seed. I don't know. All I know is my grandma introduced me to Jesus when I was young. I just kind of threw it off to the wayside. I knew, like I said, I knew something was there, and I've been searching all my life because I've always felt there was something there. Because like I said, my childhood was rough. How can you make it through it without something?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, and like I said, Karen wanted to go to church, and we found a church, and, I mean, don't get me wrong, the watering is really hard for me. Mm-hmm. I struggle with understanding a lot, because, you know, everybody probably here knows I can't read and understand it. I'm a hands-on kind of guy. I learn by doing and not reading. So, you know, when you throw these topics up, if I can't relate from something in my life, it's hard for me to talk. Because I can't go back to the Bible and tell a story out of the Bible like Bob or Mike, Stephanie, you know, relate it to them. I can't do it. You know, but granted, when they start telling a story, I know the story. So it has been planted in me. I just can't never recall it.
Mm-hmm.
It's in there. It's just I can't.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You have to remember it doesn't make you any less than. It doesn't make you any less loved by God. It doesn't make your testimony or anything that you're doing any less than.
And I think it's important to remember, too, if we were all the same, how would we relate to others?
How boring would that be?
Yeah. Right. I tell my students that all the time. But, like, I just think if we all understand Scripture the exact same way, how are we going to really spread the message?
Mm-hmm.
And because, like, we can talk it all. Yep. Like, we can read it. We can talk about it. But unless you really get to the heart of the matter, people aren't going to take it. And I think that's really where the seeds planted is, in the heart of it. And not everybody wants the word. Some people need to see the testimony.
That's the only way I can do my seed. Mm-hmm. Is if I show the love that Jesus showed me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way I can do it. And
that's a pretty powerful way, Ron.
And if that's planting a seed, then that's wonderful. I don't see that.
And you may never. Right. And that's one of the hardest things I think that we as Christians do. So we plant the seed and we don't ever see that come to fruition.
I don't even know if I'm planting the seed, if they're hearing it. But as long as I keep showing them, because like I said, that's the only way I can do it. I know Jesus' love because He's give it to me nonstop every day. So the only way I can give it back is to give His love to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And if that plants the seed, then that's great.
I also think it's important to remember that we are not on judgment day. Like, we're not rewarded or criticized or anything based upon how many seeds we brought into a plant.
Right, like, yeah.
We are encouraged, we are told to go and spread the seeds, to plant those seeds, but we're not, like, it has no impact on us as our faith goes based upon whether those seeds grow. It's, God wants to see, are you willing to plant?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to sow the seeds?
It's like the parable Jesus talked about.
Right.
Getting paid, that you worked all day, worked half of the day, worked 2 hours of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Were you willing to work?
And that gives me, I mean, I'm working at AutoZone, and my boss tells...
Not a sponsor, by the way.
Yeah, sorry.
But if you'd like anyway. To hit us up on Broken Record Ministries,
my boss there, he tells me all the time, he's like, do you ever be quiet? Do you know everybody?
It's not just at AutoZone.
Yeah, no, it's not.
But that's the thing. Most of the time, when I'm talking... I mean, I'm not never talking negative. It's always uplifting. It's always, you know, trying to help.
Yeah. You know? It's like me giving you a hard time like I do. But like we had the prayer drive-through 2 years ago, not the last one, but the one before. And there was a car show. And like you weren't here at the table. You were out talking. And spreading seeds that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and I'm pretty sure Mike Smith said the same thing that day because I think he walked with him. Hey, do we have to stop and talk to everybody?
Told you. When I say Saturday, gift to gab.
You can't get them there if you can't talk to them.
Yeah.
Now, I can talk to anybody. But like you tried to have me pray us in. I mean, that prayer thing... It's kind of more of my time, and it's hard for me to do it. And I mean, I can sit there and pray to God by myself, and I can pray in front of Karen. And I don't know what it is, but it's hard for me, and I'm not there yet. I'm trying to get there.
So is that something that you need, that needs watered?
Possibly. Yeah, but I've got to be willing to take that water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, right now, I'm just kind of spitting it back out.
Is there something that needs to be watered for you, Schmike? And it doesn't have to be super personal or super
deep. I mean, obviously, I know that, and I'm working on it, but I know I want my Bible knowledge to be watered, you know, and I'm trying, like I said, I'm taking steps to try and do that. And, cause I've never taken the time to try to read the Bible all the way through. And, you know, now I've tried a couple ways and trying to narrow something down to have that knowledge as well, to bring me closer to Him.
Well, if you figure it out, send it this way, would you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I actually picked up a book, and I'm going to bring it to you. I don't want you to get offended, but I did find Bible for Dummies.
It's got pictures in it?
No pictures.
I have that Bible at home, Mike. I have a Bible with pictures. Thank you. It's the children's version. They're all cartoon colored.
There you go. Hey.
I told you. That's how I learned the stories, you know? Yeah. Cartoons.
Hey. Yeah. If that's what does it, dude, there's no shame in that game.
Well, I think the big thing is just not giving up on trying to go deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, it's hard not to. I'm just going to be honest. It's hard not to just say, I'll just let somebody else read it and explain it to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. And Karen's going through
which
that.
Is fine, which is fine also, to a certain extent. But like Bob was saying, it's that... It's that main street in a busy town in the holiday, right? You have to drive down that street just like God's driving with you on the other side. Mm-hmm. And then you have the shops on both sides of the street, which is your community, that's there to help you.
Yeah.
Or a tire shop if you have a flat tire. Mm-hmm. On that.
Growing up, everybody says, you need to find God. You need to do this. It's a lot easier. They lied.
So true.
In certain aspects, they lied.
No,
I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't true.
Yeah.
That walk gets harder.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is the harder the walk, the deeper you get.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that.
Yep.
So.
The walk isn't hard. We make it harder.
We make it hard.
Mm-hmm.
But. The harder you walk it, the deeper you get with God.
Yeah.
The more you pursue it, the farther you go.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about it. When you're traveling, do you go a mile and quit?
If we were running, I would.
I wouldn't make it a mile. We'd
that's what I was thinking. I'm done. I was thinking you could run a mile. Oh, wow, buddy. Dude,
I'm impressed, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm impressed, yeah. But, I mean, seriously, think about it. When you go on a vacation and you're traveling, if you're anything like me, you drive until you drop.
Mm-hmm.
If you got to go to the bathroom, you should have went before we left.
That's right. Pee before we go.
That's right.
We ain't stopping until we get a gas up.
Once I get on that mission, I'm on that mission.
That's the way I am. I got one thing in sight, and I'm trying to get there.
Okay. Why can't we be like that in our spiritual life?
Mm-hmm.
Same difference. If you can focus on getting to a destination in this world, why can't we focus on getting to a destination to eternity?
Yep.
I mean, it just... We can't just continue making pit stops and lingering around at that pit stop for years before we move forward. All it does is it burns you out.
Mm-hmm.
It quenches the spirit.
Yeah.
I can't lie. I've been in that. I've hit them plateaus.
More than I'd like to say.
Yep. Me too.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems like that them plateaus come more often and more often than they should.
Yeah. Just when you feel like you're on a high, it's like, boom, you know, you're hit and you're like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'll go... Me, myself, personally, I'll go weeks at a time and think, man, I haven't grown any of this time. You know, I'm just stuck. I'm stuck. I'm spinning my wheels. You know, I'm sitting here just churning and turning and burning and not going anywhere. So, you know, and in order to do that, to move. For one thing, if you're on ice and you get them tires hot, they're not going to do nothing but slide. If you stop, let them tires cool down, and take off slowly, and not give it a whole lot of gas, you'll get more grip on that ice than you'll ever think you ever had. Why not do that with our spiritual life?
Mm-hmm.
Slow it down. Allow God to cool it down so He can fire it back up.
Yep. You didn't learn everything you know about cars and your and carpentry and all of the things that you have knowledge on the first time you did it. Not even the second time that you did it. It took time after time. You had to learn more. You had to probably read some stuff on it. All of these things to get where you're at to say, to have a friend call and say, hey, I got this going on. Well, you know what? You can check this, this, or this. Or you know what? Hey, let me come and check it out and I'll tell you which one it is. Right?
Right.
Same thing right here. This is all of this right here is nothing but for you. For you and to get to know your Lord and Savior more.
This is going to sound bad. I pick up my Bible. I have one at school.
Mm-hmm.
It's there every day. And I pick up my Bible and I open it up and I tell myself I'm going to start reading. One chapter a day. Just one. You know, I start in Matthew. And I'm all gung-ho for it. And I'm like, yes, okay, we're doing this. And I start reading. I get to the end of the chapter. I sit there and I ask myself, okay, what did I get out of that? Oh, man. I'm blank.
So do it like this. Don't read the chapter. Read two verses.
Take notes, Ron. Anybody reading to learn takes notes.
Don't worry about running the marathon.
Yeah.
I wasn't good in school, Mike. I didn't use Cliff Notes. I didn't take notes.
Yeah. Well, and again,
sorry.
Like same thing. Saying, yeah.
Don't worry about reading the whole chapter and understanding the whole thing.
And like, so I even went and got that 1 year Bible because everybody's like, it's easier. It's like, okay.
No.
Mm-mm.
It was not easier.
I think.
Reading's just not my thing is what it is.
Okay.
That's the main problem.
I think that's fine. I think a big thing that all of us need to do, though, is when we read, also reflect on how does this apply to my life?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there's days where I read and I'm like, wait, what did I just read? Like, it's not just you, but then those days where I'm intentional of, okay, I'm going to read this because I'm going to find something that's going to apply to my day. I'm going to hold it in my head all day. And that's when I'm like, I do better. And I can feel that, okay, I am growing. I am watering my seed because I'm keeping His word in my mind. Mm-hmm. And it's not anything big. A lot of times it's not even word for word. It's just an idea. Like the other day, He told me joy. And I'm like, I realize I lost a lot of joy at work. And so every single time I got to a situation, it was just joy. Mm-hmm. Find joy in the situation. And don't make it too much.
Yeah. So like, your kids, when you took them to McDonald's, they started out on Happy Meals. Then you got the cheeseburger. And then they got whatever they wanted after that.
And then they got really expensive.
Yeah. It's the same thing. Read a couple of verses. And then once you read those verses, just say, what's God saying here? What am I understanding from here? And what do I need to work on from here? That's it. And it's three verses. So you're in the Happy Meal stage, if you want to, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
and again, just like we talked about, just like what Bob had said, iron sharpens iron. If you have a problem or you don't know if you have a question on three verses, call one of us.
Well, technically text me.
You know.
Don't text him. I'm calling.
Yeah. Make him answer that phone. That's right.
We should have Ronnie's number.
Don't ever FaceTime me though, because you won't answer. Yeah. We won't get an answer.
By the way, if we want to give that out, do we want to give your number out?
I think we do, because Ronnie can answer all the questions.
But seriously, I mean, that's what it's about.
It is, and you know how I absolutely started learning what I needed to learn when I started reading the Bible. I started looking. I started looking to see where I could find Jesus in that scripture. And once you figure out where Jesus is at in that scripture, it really pops it. It really makes it come to life.
So you read it with a point in mind.
Yes.
That's a technique, yes.
Yes,
a
good one. And I try to look for Jesus in everything I read. Because he's there. I mean, he's in every bit of it. We just got to find him.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like find Waldo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I told Karen the other day we were watching a game show. It's called The Weakest Link.
Mm-hmm. Good guy. Yeah.
Pretty much. I told her. I was like, when I go to podcasts here lately, I feel like I'm the weakest link. Goodbye.
No.
You know, because the topics, I sit there and I read them and I'm like trying to figure out where we're wanting to go with it, where I need to go with it. And it's like,
you know, you know what my experience with the weakest link is? Most of the time, that weakest link was the strongest because it was holding everything. When a chain breaks, that weakest link, as we call the weak link, was actually probably the strongest link in that whole chain because it was actually doing all the work. It was actually holding that chain together on the two ends. And when it come apart, eventually that strong link is going to give. And that's all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give. We're going to break. There's a breaking point for everybody. I don't care who you are, who you think you are, you're going to break. I used to be that guy that thought I'd never break. I fail every day.
Now you're glass.
Now you're correct.
All up in his feelings.
All up in his feelings. I don't get my feelings much.
You know, Ron, I think
you just
every
said
week I think I'm the weak link every week. That's what I think.
You said it.
You said it too.
I understand your feeling.
I think at some point in time in this whole journey that we've been doing this, every one of us at some point has felt like the weakest link in this table.
Mm-hmm.
Except for maybe Steph.
But, I was just going to say, actually, that's been me the last couple of weeks where I'm like, I'm sitting here and I told Carl about it. I'm like, I don't know why God tells me to go. I feel like I'm sitting there and like I have nothing to share.
Mm.
And I don't know why he keeps telling me to go. So I think it's all perspective because we're in our head. And that the enemy, we know, loves to whisper in your ears. You're not good enough. You can't do this. All those things. And that's really what he's been hitting me with recently. And I'm like, so why? Like, I was to a point of Saturday. I'm like, that's it. I'm going to work and I'm going to be mom. And that's it. I'm not doing all the extra things. I'm not going to Sunday night's small group. I'm not going to the podcast. I'm not going to Tuesday Bible study. Like, I'm doing nothing. Taking the rest of the school year just off because I can't. And then I woke up today completely refreshed. I'm like, okay.
Yep. Well, I almost drove by. I almost didn't pull in from coming from work. But I did. And then I sat in the parking lot debating on whether or not I wanted to leave.
I heard you were eating a burger.
No. I was eating pizza.
Whatever.
Final thoughts. Let's pull the needle off the record. Coffee Mike, give me your final thoughts, sir.
I think that being watered is very important. If you're not being watered, why aren't you being watered? You need to ask yourself that question. What's holding you back from the focus Bob was talking about? I think is another question you need to ask yourself. You know, he talked about pruning. So did you, Ronnie. What do you need to prune? But sometimes pruning, man, I've been thinking about it ever since y'all said that. To prune what I need to prune, I don't know if I have the courage to do so.
It's not easy sometimes. Sometimes it's easy, right? Just don't put that six pack in the fridge, right? That'd be an easy prune. Other times it's, I can't go around this person or that person or, you know, a whole different life change.
Mm-hmm.
Like Steph said, we're always up in our head. That's where I live, man. Always somebody's in your ear. It's a shame, but that's the truth.
Schmike?
I feel like the opportunity to be watered and watered is such a privilege that we need to be very careful not to misuse either. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like not to just allow ourselves to be watered, but make sure, you know, that we know, okay, we're being watered because we need to water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at the same time, we can't let our water run out.
Ron, give me some wisdom.
I don't know if I have any. We sit here and we say the watering, and what I can only say for myself is I feel like I try to water, but at the same token, I refuse to take in water.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of not, I shouldn't be said like that quite a, I mean.
No, I get it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love to give the water to
mm-hmm.
for the people's seeds, but at the same token, I neglect taking in the water for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You're fighting being watered.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're in that spot, then I guess you just, me and myself, you know, you gotta let it go. You gotta allow people around you to water and be willing to drink the water.
Steph?
So I kind of have two different thoughts right now. In response to what you're saying, I would highly encourage you to look up The Man in the Arena. And I don't know, was it Theodore Roosevelt? It was one of his speeches. Because I think we really struggle with vulnerability. And that really highlights, vulnerability is just a word. The real courage is the man in the arena. And I don't have time to get into it right now, but I would encourage you to look that up. My real final thought for the episode, though, makes me really think of fellowship. I think sometimes we see fellowship of, I have this group of people I do life with. Sometimes we eat. Sometimes we talk about the different things. But I really feel like fellowship should be the people you can count on in your life to walk by you when you're struggling, to help you recognize the areas where you're falling short, to encourage you when you lack. I think fellowship is something that we don't do very well in our culture, like in America society, because we're so much like keeping up with the Joneses and, you know, trying to be better than others, that competitiveness in so many of us, that we're not there to truly help the other person or people, just to help. And with that, I really think of James 5, because I can't not come and have scripture to share. But James 5:13 through 16, and is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And I really think the big thing for me that hit me on this particular, because like I come back to this a lot, is you must pray. And it's not just praying for yourself. Like if somebody, you see somebody suffering, it's like, we're gonna pray. Like I know it's the American culture to be like, is it okay if I pray with you? No, we're gonna pray. Like it's a requirement here. And I also feel like if you're sick, then you must reach out to others to seek that prayer. And the anointing of the oil, like those are things, like I know reaching out, not on my to-do list ever, but it's one of those like I'll just push through, and that's usually going to take me a lot longer than if I just would have reached out and said, hey, will you pray for me? And I think as if we're truly in fellowship with each other, we're willing to do that. We're not really too concerned about being vulnerable because our heart's in the right place. But then we also have the people in our life that are like, I see you're struggling. So we're going to stop and we're going to pray.
Bob, what's your pearl of wisdom for this episode?
I don't know. I can't. Why don't you always make me go after her?
Move your seat.
Is that what it is? Go the other direction. No. I guess for me, you know, from what I've heard around the table and what I've seen is I don't think people know where their seat belt. You know, and if we don't know or we're not sure where our seat belt, which I mean, where's your heart at? You know, I'm like Steph, I'm gonna end this with some scripture. We're going to go to Mark chapter 4, verses 14 through 20, which this is actually the parable of the farmer, the seed, sowing the seed. 14 says, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. That's us. We're the farmers. We take the seed and plant it to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems and are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted.
Crap, so those are the red words.
That's right.
So what I'm saying is, step back, check your heart, and see where your seed fell. If it fell on the wrong ground, ask God to replant it into the good soil. And what's the good soil? That's God. Mm-hmm. He's the good soil. So just make sure where your seed's at. Make sure where your heart's at. That's what I'm saying. Check your heart. Make sure it's for God. Make sure it's for loving other people. Make sure it's for doing God's work. You know, yeah, we're gonna get down. We're gonna get discouraged sometimes. But even though, them are the times God is there carrying us through. And we just got to understand that. We got to allow Him to pack us through it. And we got to trust what He's got for us. So, just check it out. See where your seed, you think your seed fell. If it fell on the wrong kind of soil or the wrong ground, just ask God to replant it.
You want to press out?
I can.
You're not giving a final thought, Ronnie?
I can.
I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. I was. You don't have to.
I want you to recognize who called you out, though. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The guy that's praying us out.
Friend.
No. My final thought kind of goes with what Ron ironically was saying. Like, I'm not very good at pouring back in. But I pour out. But I have to intentionally take time throughout my day, whether it's in the morning or at night, to pour back into myself, just for me. Go down rabbit holes. Go down, just read scripture in bite sizes or in large sizes, whatever.
You got to make sure you're not just phoning it in.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes those days are struggles. But I know me, and if I let one day go by, then you know what? There goes a whole week where I'm just checking the boxes and phoning it in.
Yep.
So there might be sometimes I don't go to bed until midnight. Because if you're like me, I do all the things, and then I'm like, ah, oh, crap. I gotta pour into me still. And then I start, and I'm like, okay, we're just doing a couple verses tonight, and I'm going to dig into that. And then all of a sudden...
a rabbit hole appears.
Yep. The beagle points, and I go chasing. But yes, you have to intentionally, at least I'd have to, take time for yourself and water. Let him water me back up. And sometimes... it's as easy as a fellowship on Sunday nights or Mondays when we do this or a sermon. But most of the time it only gets that glass half full. Is that good enough for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bob, will you pray us out now, please?
I will. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Father, we thank you for the discussion we had tonight. Father, I pray that it's helped somebody. Father, I pray that it planted the seed on good soil. Father, we know that sometimes we don't see the fruit of it. We don't reap the fruit. But Father, we know that we got to continue to sow them seeds. And I pray, Father, that we can just continue to sow it on good ground, on fertile ground, Father. And that fertile ground is you. I pray, Father, that we can just look to you. Father, just allow you to just show us what we need. Father, I give you the praise. I give you the glory. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And until next time, we'll catch you on the flip side.